Anyway, we certainly won't run to the end of this recording tonight. I'm certain I won't be preaching very long tonight. You got something about your sister Caleb? Well, come on. Praise the Lord for that. I got you on. You're ready to go. Amen. This is what church is all about right here. She said, I got a song, got to sing. Amen. That's good.
Satan has parted fathers and mothers, filling their hearts with envy and haste, headed their pathway down to destruction, leaving their children like orphans to stray.
Yep.
The family who prays will never be parted. Their circle in heaven unbroken shall stand. God will say, enter, thy good faithful servant. For the family who prays never shall part.
Amen.
Wars and tornadoes are taking our loved ones. They're leaving us with sad aching hearts, but we shall join them over the river, for the family who prays never shall part.
Yeah.
The family who prays will never be parted.
Yeah.
Their circle in heaven unbroken shall stand. God will say, enter, thy good faithful servant, for the family who prays never shall part.
Yeah, ma'am. Praise the Lord, I'm preaching on prayer tonight. She said, I've got a song, I've got a sing. Couldn't have been no better. Amen. Anybody else got anything on your heart tonight before we look to the Word of God? If not, get your Bible out, open up to Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter number 18. And we'll take our text out of Luke chapter number 18 tonight. This will be the last message that we'll be preaching on prayer unless the Lord decides otherwise. But I felt led of God some while back to preach on prayer. And like she said, boy, the family that prays together. Amen. Boy, I know the family's under attack. You know, they're trying to make it where I can't speak against same-sex unions. They're saying, you know, that it's a civil right. Ain't nothing right about it. I'll just tell you right now, ain't nothing right about that. And I'll just have to lock this old boy up because I'm mandated in the commission of God to preach against sin. That's sin. Amen. And I don't want y'all to get in trouble, but that kind of trouble I ain't got no problem with. I don't want the kind of trouble where old Brother Eddie's drunk or Brother Eddie's doing something he ought not be doing. But as long as I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, if that gets me in trouble, I don't mind that kind of trouble. Amen. I appreciate that song tonight about the family that prays together. Amen. We'll start our reading tonight in Luke chapter number 18. Again, he's speaking a parable. And he starts out verse number 9. And this is Jesus here doing the speaking. And he spake this parable unto certain, there's that word certain again, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee, I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican, I fast in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And let me go ahead and read these next verses. I mentioned about them this morning, and I was amazed that I couldn't remember they were here. And they brought unto him also infants. Notice that. Not young children. Infants. That he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come to me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter in. I wanted to read those verses just to honor the children. And we're going to preach tonight on prayer again. And tonight our message will be headed to prayer. Father, we call upon you tonight, Lord, for substance, for strength. Lord, for the Holy Spirit of God to help us, Lord, tonight. Lord, I don't know how long this service is going to be. Lord, all I know is, Lord, we've assembled for the purpose of worship. And Lord, we want you in our midst. I pray, Lord, you'll wash us with the water of the Word. I pray, dear Father, Lord, you'll challenge us with the great truths of this Word. Lord, I pray to be anointed from on high for the purpose of preaching tonight. And Lord, through these lips of clay, we just praise you tonight and thank you, Lord. For Lord, in the day and hour we're living in, Father, not much going on like what goes on here. And I thank you, Father, for the Lord, this church, Lord, that reverences your Word and the Lord that fears you. And I do believe, Lord, that they do their best, Father, to honor you, like Brother Melvin said, just our reasonable service, to walk before you in the beauty of holiness, to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. We just pray, Father, you'll help us, Lord, for it's our desire to honor you, and we call upon your blessing, and ask, Father, you'd bless our efforts tonight. And Lord, a lot are not here tonight, Lord. We sure wish they were. Pray you bless those that weren't able to be here tonight. We don't know the circumstances, but we pray for them, Lord, tonight. And we thank you and praise you for all these things. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I appreciate Sister Gayla being obedient tonight about singing that song about prayer. And these two men, the Lord speaking here, a parable, he was speaking it for the purpose of trying to help people that trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. But one thing in this parable, it mentioned about two men that were headed to the house of God to pray. And, you know, years ago, I wasn't even alive back then, but years ago they used to walk for miles. And I mean barefooted. And they'd sing and shout. And women throw bonnets up in the air. And I mean shouting. The shouts would be heard for miles. And men throw big straw hats up in the air. And they didn't have nothing but bib overalls on. And the thing they was excited about was they was going to the house of God. And you know what? Now you can't drive them with a bulldozer. I'm telling you, boy, back, you know, when people prayed, and I heard a guy preach on the way over here, and he mentioned about America. He said America used to fear God, and America was a godly nation. And he said, I know a lot of people don't want to hear that, but America used to stand with God, used to walk with God. America, boy, been blessed to God. But I tell you what, buddy, is on blessing ground. Amen. But back, boy, when people used to put forth an extra effort, I mean, put forth, some more than normal. I mean, above the average, you know, and they walked for miles just to come to the house of God. And their purpose was to come and ask God's blessing upon their crop, ask God's blessing, like Sister Gayla said, upon their family. Because I tell you what, buddy, there's still a devil walking about down here. But they walked, and as they walked, they shouted and sung. And man, I'm telling you, I wish we had some of that today, man. Hallelujah, glory to God. Well, in this case right here, you got two men headed to the house of God. One of them's coming with purpose, and the other one, thank God, owes him something, and the Lord kind of pointed out. But two men went up, and that's always a step up, Sister Molly. Said they went up, amen, into the temple to pray. And I tell you what, it's always a step up to go in the house of God. Hallelujah. And he said the one was a Pharisee. Jesus had a lot to say about Pharisees. I heard a guy preach a message one time on the Pharisee that's in me, and I had to amen it. I was old man a little bit, but I was amening too. Boy, he's on the money, Brother Grover Dean. I tell you what, I guess every one of us got a little bit of Pharisee in us, but I don't want no Pharisee in me, I'll be honest with you. But one of them was a Pharisee. Jesus had a lot to say about Pharisees, and he said this about Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, verse number 14. He said, for pretense, they make long prayers. He said in verse number 5, he said, all their works they do for to be seen of men. And they enlarge the borders of their garments. They make broad their phylacteries. I was over at Brother Melvin's this afternoon, and we was getting ready to eat, and they had some things to say about these president and the nominee. And anyway, they showed a picture there of Mitt Romney, and he had all that, I don't know what you call it, them robes, you know, and that stuff all over them. I don't really care for it, I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't even wear that suit if I didn't want people to know I was a preacher, but I certainly don't want to overdo it. But these guys, I mean, they got on all these big robes, these big purple robes, and man, they got big old, borders hanging down off of them and stuff. And he said they make broad their phylacteries. Now, what that is, I had to look that up. That's passages of scripture that they put upon their forehead and upon their arm. I mean, they want everybody to know that, you know, that they're religious, you know, that, and you know, a lot of it, people, kind of overdo it. And, you know, I see the bumper stickers, you know, and you've seen them, God's my co-pilot, and honk if you love Jesus, and all that right there, and for lack of better words, I'll be honest with you, I love the Lord, and the Lord, and I have to admit, it's not no secret, I love Him supremely. But, if I've got to put on a t-shirt, to tell the world that I love the Lord, or get a tattoo to say I love the Lord, I'm getting a little bit of Pharisee when I do that. But he said about these Pharisees in verse number 3, he said, they say and do not. Now that's not good. I like for you to say and do, and I'm the one who had something to do with the cleanup over here last Saturday, and I said and done not. I didn't show up. And I wish it worked out. I could have been here. I believe I was supposed to be here. May have been the reason that old bucket truck didn't sail, because I stayed over there instead of over here. I never even thought about that just now. But he said also in Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 7, he said they use up vain repetitions, and they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Now, I've been in some Baptist prayer meetings. Now, you're talking about a bunch of Pharisees. I mean, I never heard such a mess in my life. People trying to drown out one another, you know, trying to be more righteous than the other one, especially if it's a bunch of preachers. And oh, I'm talking about, you talking about some of them preacher prayers. Oh God, I've been there. I've heard it. I have. You have too. Amen. But you know what? I believe them kind of prayers like Hannah prayed. Sister Gail, you know, she just with her heart, she said, Lord, I sure would like to have a little boy. And Lord, if you give me that little boy, I give him back to you. I just want to hold in my arms just a little bit. Some of them kind of prayers right there, they got more weight to them, them old preacher pharmaceutical prayer. Oh God, oh Lord, I don't like that Pharisee in me, and I don't like no Pharisee in nobody, to be honest with you. I wish it was all real, wouldn't pretend at all. But you know, these two men went up there, and their whole purpose was to pray, and the one of them had an old Pharisee spirit about him, and he thought this other guy, he's so much above him, he just despised him, and we get a little like that sometimes. I'll tell you right now, I wish I didn't have no Pharisee in me. But, I've been in some of them pharmaceutical prayer meetings, and, I wish, for lack of better words, I wish they at least take turns, but it's kind of, gets kind of like competition, and finally there have been a few of them, but they drowned old Brother Eddie out, and I just prayed in my heart. I said, Lord, I just want you to know, I'm agreeing with these guys, I can't pray for them, they're drowning me out and everything else. But Pharisees, they're very judgmental of others. And, I'll leave that to the Lord and give them some of them the benefit of the doubt. But Pharisees, they're pretty judgmental. I mean, I've had a little bit of Pharisee in me, and I try like old Paul to be crucified every day. I don't want that Pharisee to live in me. But in this parable here, you can see the difference between this Pharisee and this publican. I wish all of us was more like this publican and less like that Pharisee. Now, they both went up for the purpose of prayer. They both headed to the house of God. They both come to pray. But that publican, he's not pretending. He knows who he is. He knows who he's praying to. He knows what the problem is. And his prayer is simple. God be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, many have done harm to the simplicity of Christ. The Bible mentioned there in the book of Ecclesiastes that when God does something, you can't add to it and you can't take away from it. That's why on the cross, Jesus uttered the words, "It is, amen, finished." I mean, he's done a work right there. Even the devil couldn't do nothing about it. So he thought, well, I can't do nothing about that work. I'll just work on them. Maybe I can get them to try to doubt the finished work of God. But I'll tell you right now, that publican, he knew what the problem was. He come with purpose in his heart. You come with purpose. You know, I believe that we are to come with purpose. The Bible said God knows what we have need of before we ever even ask it. And sometimes I reckon I think I can impress God, you know, and I try to choose my words, Sister Gail. I want to try to make sure they fit together. And you know, I don't want to sound like some fool praying. I want it, you know, to be, I don't know, I've prayed prayers before sometimes, and for lack of better words, I think the only one I pleased was me. And you know, that publican, boy, he come with purpose. I believe, boy, you know, he come for the very purpose of getting to God and getting right with God. And I wish we was more publican than Pharisee. Both of these men coming, one of them, boy, I tell you what, definitely different than the other. But this Pharisee, you know, he can't even pray because he's looking at this publican and he's despising him. And he said, I'm glad I ain't like this publican. And every now and then I get a little bit of Pharisee in me, and God forgive me and God help me not to. Maybe you do too, I don't know. But this publican, buddy, he's serious. He's not pretending. He knows who he is. He knows who God is. He knows who he's praying to. He knows what the problem is. And the problem is he's a sinner. Amen. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. The Bible said God's greater in our heart and knows all things. And I don't know who you're trying to fool, but I'll tell you one thing. You're not fooling God. You know, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes we get up here and we pray, and we forget that, you know, God, He hears prayer. God, He answers prayer. And I've had a few, Sister Molly, that the answer was no. Somebody said, God won't hear my prayer. Well, maybe it's because it's like some of mine, the answer is no. Some things I don't need, God being much wiser, man, I'm praying for something I don't need it, and I can't understand that I don't need it. And God, He ain't answered my prayer. I'm like Paul, I've done prayed three times, I ain't got no answer, and finally He did get an answer. And the answer was that God said, my grace is sufficient for you, Saul. Or Paul, yeah, his name was Paul then. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Every now and then I pray along those lines. I'm praying for something. And for lack of better words, I don't need it. God knows I don't need it. And you know, He's greater in my heart. He knows all things. And who am I to think any otherwise than what God, you know, what God has in mind for Eddie Wade. Some reason or another, I can't understand my situation. The young boy that called me, Adam Ether, I don't understand his situation. Here's a young boy, 36 years old, and he'll probably listen to this message on the internet website. I don't understand his situation. He's called me, Brother Eddie, I don't want to go to hell. And I said, Adam, you don't have to go to hell. You need to get to Jesus. And he said, Eddie, I've prayed. I've asked God to save me. And you know, I don't understand his situation. It don't make no sense. I'm not that smart. Don't get me wrong. But this young boy's doing everything right. He's humble. He's got a good spirit. He's not sarcastic. He's reading his Bible. He knows the Word of God. I've asked him about scriptures. He's read it. He knows it. And you know, not no shortage of the Word of God. He's got enough faith, you know, to be saved and yet still not saved. I don't understand his situation. I did tell him, I said, Adam, I don't understand your situation, but maybe you're trying to find God in your head instead of in your heart. And you know, I'll have to admit, this young boy, I've been there myself. You know, sometimes it don't make no sense. And for one thing for sure, buddy, we got to get on the same page God is. And this publican, he done that. He's come really for the purpose of mercy. He's come confessing that he's a sinner. And I'll tell you what, buddy, the Lord commended him. But in St. John chapter 9, verse 31, the Bible said that they said, we know that God heareth not sinners. And that's true. There is one prayer that God will hear from a sinner, and that's the prayer this publican prayed, God be merciful to me, a sinner. God will hear the prayer of repentance. The Bible said, godly sorrow, work of repentance, not to be repented of. And God will hear that prayer from a sinner. I want to be forgiven. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. And He will hear that prayer. And after someone gets saved, the precious privilege of prayer is there. And praise God, I pray about everything. I want the prayer list to be long as this church parking lot. I want it to be as broad as this church building, and more so, not less so. I'm telling you, buddy, one thing you can do. Somebody wrote a song, one thing I can do. He said, I can pray. You know what? That'd be a reasonable service. If you ask me to pray for you, I promise you this, I'll get on my knees and pray for you. And I need your prayers. I'll tell you, I'm not ashamed. I'll tell you right now, we need prayer. Man, I just got off the phone with my wife. I guarantee you we need prayer. Good grief. She said the granddaughter called, needed money for gas. I said, good Lord, I got gas sitting there in the barn. I wished I was home. But anyway, we need prayer. Y'all remember us? How we do our best to pray for y'all. I was on my knees early this morning to praying, calling your names after God. I expect you to do the same for me. But I thank God for the privilege of prayer. And the Bible said in Romans 10:13, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And 2 Corinthians 11:3 talks about the simplicity that's in Christ. You got a good example of what a sinner needs to do. Acts 16:30, here's a jailer. Man, I tell you what, there have been some circumstances. It's got the best of him. There's been an earthquake. All the prisoners, their bond is broke. The jail doors is open. It's in the midnight. Man, he don't know what to do. And you know, it's kind of like Brother Bobby said, that alarm went off on the weather today. You don't know whether to run or what. But that kind of happened with this jailer here. But he drew out his sword. And the Bible said he would have killed himself because he supposed all the prisoners had fled. And Paul and Silas, all they're doing is in there praying and singing. Having one of them, you know, real prayer meetings, you know what I mean? I mean, praying when it's not easy, not convenient, or shackled, they've been beaten, they've been shamefully entreated, and they just strike up an old note, I can't sing a lick, and I don't know about them, but I'll tell you one thing, heaven heard them, and heaven came down there in that jail, and praise God, a boy, all of a sudden everybody's free, and Paul said, do thyself no harm, we're all here, and that jailer, the Bible said, he came trembling. You know, when you come to God, if you're lost, boy, that's a good way to come.
Amen.
He came trembling, and the Bible said he fell down before him, and he asked the greatest question that a sinner could ask. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he asked the right ones. You ask some people that, and they'll say, well, you got to keep commandments near to the end, be baptized till the frogs know your name. But I'll tell you right now, he came to the right ones at the right time. He asked the right question. And he got the right answers, and they said, and he got the right answer. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And you know what? That's just simple, Gail. Here he is, buddy, he's trembling. Man, a man, the pains of hell's got a hold of him. He fell down there, buddy, it's real, he ain't pretending. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You know when it's real? I mean, buddy, when you get to Cain Helpitz, and you know, for lack of better words, buddy, God gets bigger than you. Than you are, and buddy, I tell you what, you get to fearing God a little bit, and you start realizing about eternity. I was telling them over at Brother Melvin's today, there was a wicked judge, a sheriff one time, and buddy's on his deathbed, and he had a friend that was a Christian, I think he's a preacher. My pastor told this, so I'm just recollecting what he told us, but he said his friend was a preacher, and he come over to him, he's on his deathbed, and he got there, and his wife said he's back there in the room, I don't know how much longer he's got, he's about gone. He went back there, buddy, and I mean the beads of sweat on his forehead. I mean, here he is about point of death. He come in there and he said, buddy, I wanted to come over here and see you, and I wish to get saved. He said, you know I ain't afraid of dying. And he said, yeah, but what about the judgment? And he'd tell you what, buddy, all of a sudden the fear of God come up on that sheriff. He said, I hadn't thought about the judgment. Pray with me. And you know what, buddy? He got in the last minute there. But I'll tell you what, buddy, I'm glad. Praise God. When God comes upon you, that's a good time to ask what to do. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, buddy. I'm glad God's not a God that's far off, but He's a God that's nigh and at hand. Amen? I mean, sometimes I call my wife, I can't get a hold of her, and I get more frustrated the more I try. Y'all probably don't have this problem. And, you know, I'm calling, it's important, or she's trying to call me, and my phone's out there in the car, and I get out there, and I've had 4 missed calls. It's her every time. That happened last Sunday. And I'll tell you what, it's frustrating. But I'm glad you don't have no problem getting a hold of God. I'm glad, praise God, the old song said He walks the dark hills. He goes after the one that's left the 99. Man, I'm glad, praise God, for a God like Him that's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. You know, you tell old Brother Eddie how it is, and I hate to say it, but you know, I can't always identify with how bad you're hurting. I can't always identify with the situation, but I'll tell you one thing, He can. Amen. Amen. Boy, He's a good God. Amen. Pilate, he said, I find no fault in Him. I don't find no fault in either, Brother Melvin. I don't know how in the world He could love someone like me, but boy, that's just why He's God. Amen? And I tell you what, buddy, He's not far off. Amen? I mean, you know, when I need help, I don't want a God that's far off. I want a God I can get a hold of. And I say, I need to talk. And praise God, I'm glad He tells all of heaven to be silent. My son needs to talk. And praise God, I don't know who, I can't remember who it was. I talked to somebody on the phone this week, and I can't remember who it was. But I was telling him, I said, when you pray, I said, you just go talk to God like you would your father. And you're not going to impress Him. You're not going to be able to say anything that's going to be any hard. You know, just go in there and just say, I'd like to talk to you for minutes, Father, and go in there like a father and son, have a good, healthy conversation. Tell the Lord, He already there. I'll tell you what, wanting to hear from you. I want to help you. Hey, for some reason or another, we can't understand the aspect of God that He's God. And I've said this, I know it's went over y'all's head, but I'll say it again. You got more God than you need. I mean, it's not like we're at a loss when it comes to needing God. I mean, we got more God than we need. You know, many times the Lord had to continually prove to His disciples that they underestimated Him. I mean, when the 5,000 were going to be fed, they said, Lord, we don't have nothing. We don't have nothing to give these. He said, just get them to sit down out there. I'll take care of it. You know what? We just got more God than we need. I don't know what's ailing you. I don't know what the problem is. I just know one thing. He's just a prayer away. I mean, 1-800-GOD. Amen? Amen. And if you're lost here tonight, I'm telling you, boy, not only is He wanting to be your Lord, wanting to be your Savior, but you'll find Him if you seek Him. Now, the Lord, He's not far off. He's right here tonight because He said, wherever two or three are gathered in His name, He said, lo, I'm in the midst. But James was pretty bold, and you know, he just kind of blundered out, and he said, you have not cause you ask not. And it's not a hit-and-miss thing. I'll be honest with you. Most of the problem is people just won't humble themselves like this publican enough to admit they're a sinner. I remember one time a good friend of mine, he's done graduated this life, Brother George Chris, he was a Free Will Baptist preacher in Glasgow, Kentucky. I still look up to him this day. He stumbled a little bit in his last days, and I don't hold that against him. He's just a man, and I certainly wouldn't want to even speak about it. But I'll tell you one thing. He got down there and prayed with a man. A man come up at the altar, and he just kept coming and coming and coming. And Brother George get down there and pleading with him, praying with him, and still nothing, nothing, nothing. And Brother George said, why don't you just tell God you're a sinner? He just couldn't do that. And he said, you need to tell God you're a sinner. You're just going to go to hell before it's all said and done. Man, that old boy had a tough time with that. And I tell you what, he finally choked out the words and said, God, I'm a sinner. I want you to forgive me, and got saved just like that. I mean, shouted the place down. But he just had a hard time humbling himself enough to admit that he was a sinner. If you can confess that you was a sinner, it's amazing. Me and Brother Melvin went over to the nursing home today, and here's this guy reading out of Romans chapter 10, verse 8, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth what he read about that verse, now thee even in thy heart, the word of the Lord which we preach. But verse 9, if thou can confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He read the same verses I read y'all this morning. That word's not far off. It's like God. It's nigh. It's even here tonight. The word of God that says, come, I'll fix it. The word of God that says, I'm ready. ready to save. I'm able to save. I will save. The problem's not mine. I'm telling you right now, brother, I'm glad, praise God, that there's a prayer you can pray and have a God like Him to watch over you while you sleep. Have a God like Him.
Amen.
And Brother Madden going over to that nursing home and God watched over us. Amen.
Amen.
He'll testify of that. But I tell you what, I'm glad I've got a God watching out for me. You know what I said? They told me I couldn't speak against same-sex union. They'll have to talk to my God about that. Amen? Because they'll have to go through Him to get to me. And they may do it. I'll tell you one thing. They won't keep me long. Amen? They won't be able to handle what God. I'll tell you what, boy. I'm glad I'm real. I'm glad, praise God, I'm really saved. Really called to God to preach. And I really love the Lord. Amen? And praise God, I ain't ashamed of Him. They'll hear something they probably won't want to hear. They'll hear more than they want to hear of it. And they'll pretty soon they'll say, is there any way we can let this guy go? I don't think I can take no more. You know, that's kind of like what happened to that jailer there. But he wouldn't let them men go. And Paul said, let them come get us. They beat us, let them come get us. For we're Romans. And all of a sudden, buddy, they get the fear. And that's kind of like an American. Had that privilege bestowed upon them to be called Romans. And Romans had rights and you wasn't allowed to beat them. And they beat these men openly and shamed them. And Paul, very smart man, very intelligent man. He used a lot of things to his advantage. Lots of times he found out one part was a Pharisee and another part was a Sadducee, and he used it to his advantage. You know, the Bible tells you and me to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, and probably do you good to do some of that. But Paul done that quite a bit. And in this case he did also. Well, let me say this. When you do pray, don't be a Pharisee. Don't be a pretender. Be real.
Amen.
I mean, you ain't gonna fool God. And you might fool Brother Eddie. That ain't that hard. Good Lord. I had a guy call me one day. I've gotta have gullible wrote on me somewhere. Had a guy call me one day and he said, are you a preacher? And I said, well, yes I am. Some say I am anyway. And he said, can I meet with you? I need to talk to you, and I already realized what we was going to be doing. Anyway, I told you I would. I can't tell people no. I'll pick up hitchhikers. I can't help it. And I didn't even pick up that woman at night. I didn't know she was a woman until I pulled over. And I was scared of her more than she was me. Hell, me. Whew. Picked her up right there at the Ebony and Exit and took her off. I said, look, I'll give you a ride. If you go to church with me, I don't know what to do. I didn't aim to pick up no woman hitchhiker. Now, Gail, before you laugh, I couldn't tell. She had a thumb stuck out. She had a coat on, a jacket. I thought it was a man. She looked around. I ain't kidding you, boy. There was a chill went up my spine. First she opened that door, I said, I'm Baptist preacher, ma'am. I'm going to the house of God. And you're more welcome to have a ride if you go to church with me. And she said, I got a knife in there. Don't you be messing. I said, don't worry about me. And anyway, I brought her up here. And I took her on to Somerset after the service. I'm pretty good. Well, this guy called me. And he said, Eddie, he said, would you meet me over at the house, his parking lot? And I did. I met him over there. And I didn't know what he was going to talk to me about. He said, Eddie, he said, we got a bunch of furniture we're going to sell, and I won't get the money till tomorrow. And I need $200, and that's all I had. I don't know, he must have been some psychic or something. He said, would you please give me $200? I'll give it back to you tomorrow. That's been about 5 years ago. I still ain't got it back. But you know what? I opened my car up there, and I took him two $100 bills out, and I've just got too much compassion, I guess. I needed the money worse than he did. But he said, would you please give it to me? I'll give it back to you tomorrow. Because, like I said, I must have gullible wrote on me. But I want to be real. I do. I don't want to be a pretender. And, you know, I don't know what the outcome was. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I needed that money worse than that guy there did. I'm convinced of that. Probably had a drug problem. I don't know. Something didn't add up. But I'll be honest with you, buddy, I'm real. And I don't like false stuff. I don't like Pharisee stuff. I'd rather have a man in here that at least knows he's a sinner, a woman in here that at least knows they're a sinner, it's interested in getting saved, and have a bunch of hypocrites and, you know, stuff like that, and a bunch of Pharisees in here. But I tell you what, praise God. Jesus said, my Father's house is a house of prayer. I'm glad, praise God, we can come in the house of God, sing the songs of God, hear the preaching, the Word of God, and right here we can pray to God. And I'll tell you what, when we do pray to God, let's at least acknowledge that He is God. Let's acknowledge our need of Him. Let's pour out our heart to Him. There's nothing too hard for Him. The Bible said in the book of Ephesians that He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we ask or think. We just got more God than we need. The biggest problem is we don't have enough faith. I mean, there's a man brought his son to Jesus and said, "Lord, I brought my son to your disciples, and they couldn't cast the demon out of him. And if you could do anything, we appreciate you'd help us." And the Lord said, "Do you believe that I can cast this devil out of your son?" I mean, he wanted some kind of evidence of faith. And that man was honest. I believe he's probably a Baptist. I don't know. But he said, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." At least he's honest. He wasn't no Pharisee that said, "Lord, I believe more than everybody here." He's honest. He said, "Lord, I believe. Help bow my unbelief." My pastor said, "Well, the Lord said he's helping that unbelief." So he just cast that devil out of that boy. And that's about as good as you can do about helping unbelief. And I tell you what, buddy. Ain't no problem with God. He does all things well.
Amen.
Amen. The problem is our old pharmaceutical attitude. I'm more worried about old Brother Bobby than I am about Brother Eddie. I'm more worried about keeping my eye on him. I want to make sure he's doing right. And for lack of better words, I need to just be paying attention to me. I need to have eyes on me. And I need to be in my own situation between me and God worked on. Not worry about yours. I do pray for y'all. One thing about a pastor, he loves the sheep, and I do pray for y'all, I do love you, but also, I'll tell you right now, I don't want you to follow me if I ain't following the Lord. Paul said, "Be ye followers of me as I'm following Christ," and he said, "If I ain't following Christ, don't follow me," amen. But oh me, two men headed the house of God to pray. One of them was a Pharisee, and the other one was a publican. I wonder which one we got tonight in our midst, amen. Oh me, Father, we thank you for the simplicity of the message, Father God, tonight. And Lord, may we be doers, not hearers only, I pray. Dear Father, Lord, tonight, and Lord, you would register the words of this message in our heart tonight. And Lord, throughout the rest of our lives, may it help us, Lord, to put things in perspective. Lord, will we not be a Pharisee when it comes to the things of God, not no show, not no, Lord, despising others. But Lord, dear God, I pray with compassion and love, we do our best, Lord, to live for you, to love you, and Lord, give, I pray, place to you. Like Sister Gayla said, I've just got to sing this song tonight, and Lord, she gave place to you, and I thank God for that. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us, Lord, dear God, tonight. Even in the remaining part of this service, help us, I pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let me ask everybody to stand tonight. 175.
It's so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Oh,
you need to come tonight. I certainly don't know, but I'll tell you one thing. If you need to come, come on, Brother Eddie, and pray with you. We'll pray together. We'll take it to God. This be a good service. Get saved in. Well, it's been real here tonight. Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. You trust the Lord tonight? Trust Him enough to step out and come forward and ask Him to be your Savior. He'll save you tonight. He's wanting and waiting, longing more than anything. You know what? That would be a way of honoring Him, saying, "Lord, I've went in my own strength. I've done things my way. I want you to have your way tonight. I want you to be my Savior. You ought to come tonight. Just come right now. Be a good night. There ain't a lot of people here. Come on. Precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Bathroom or something, and she said, "I'll be out in a minute." And he sat down there and noticed her Bible was laying there by the couch, and he picked it up and noticed, boy, it had a lot of markings in there. And as he looked through, he kept seeing his TP, TP, TP. And he thought, "Wonder what the heck that means." She come out, and he said, "I hope you can forgive me." He said, "My nosy got the best of me, and I picked your Bible up, and I was looking through there. And I noticed on several verses in your Bible, you had TP out there wrote." And he said, "I just wondered what TP means." She said, "Tried and proved." And that song here said, "Oh, how I've proved him o'er and o'er." And he said in the book of Malachi, "Try me and prove me." And she had done that. And she wrote by them verses, "Tried and proved." And, well, I tell you what, I don't know what your Bible looks like. That'd be monumental. And that TP wrote in there on several verses there, "Tried and proved." Amen. All right, I've done my part. Anybody got anything on your heart tonight? We'll give you an opportunity there to praise the Lord. And then we'll be done. I preached about 45 minutes. Don't seem like it's been that long. Margaret told me not to watch the clock, but I knew I wasn't going to preach long tonight before we ever got here. Appreciate you coming tonight. Anybody got anything on your heart tonight?
Well, yeah, I feel like I need to say this. You know, it hurt the shoulder. It fell in cement. I fell hard, too. Tore that rotor cuff. They done that. The, what do you call it?
MRI. Yeah.
And they see, showed it to me. I could see his toe was pretty bad shape, and I'd had a lot of pain that for a few months there, you know. And so they gave me a choice, you know, they wanted to do surgery.
Yeah.
Know? And ready, he's always ready to do surgery.
Ready. You know? That's pretty good, brother.
I thought, well, I want to see another younger
doctor. Ready.
Rose is so pardon me. And he put a shot in there.
Yeah.
I had to ask him if he put a shot in there.
Yeah.
And he did, and it happened.
So hey,
about 2 weeks.
Hey, man.
Then it started hurting again, you know. And it hurt pretty bad. You couldn't sleep very good with it, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought, well, my gosh, the other day, just a few days ago, it was hurting real bad, you know. He's up about half yet. And I thought, well, I just give up on it. It hurt. Let it hurt. The Lord suffered for me, you know.
Bless you, brother.
And I'll tell you what, though. I don't even know when he died. But that left me a pain.
He went to the right doctor. Instead of Dr. Ray, he went to Dr. Jesus. Amen. Yeah, I'm glad that the Bible said that he's the Lord God that healeth us.
Yeah.
And boy, like I said, we got more God than we need.
Instead of me crying to him, Lord, help me save him.
Yeah.
I just, Lord, I'm willing to suffer for you. Suffer for me.
Bless you, Brother Malvin.
You're right, Lord.
Amen. Yeah, I tell you what, buddy, he's touched.
I don't know what
he's a God of compassion.
I don't even remember when he took you away, but I've been sleeping in that shelter, you know, boy.
Amen. Y'all remember when I first come up or something happened, I couldn't even raise my hand up. Y'all remember that? When I couldn't raise my hand up? I said, "Y'all pray for me," and I come here, "Woo!" And I could get that hand up, I don't know what happened, but I remember I couldn't raise my hand up. I don't know, I'd done something, and I said, "Y'all pray for me, I can't even raise my hand up." Man, next thing I know, this, "Woo!" And you know, here we are. I mean, boy, we're just standing amazed. No wonder it's called amazing.
We need to be willing to suffer very much.
Amen.
He suffers so much for us.
Amen.
And he's persecuted, you know, and ridiculed, and put down, and he's... Creator
there is,
you know, they wouldn't accept him,
ain't they? And he puts up with all of it, and his mercy is still there. He said, "Yet still my hand outstretched."
I've never found no fault.
God bless you, brother man. I like to hear a man brag on God. Amen. I'll stay here at midnight. You don't brag on the Lord. We just stay here. Everybody else can leave. You can brag on him. I'll brag on him. And I'll tell you what, I like that. Amen.
He's never been unreasonable with me.
God bless you, brother man.
He's been patient, you know, and understanding, long suffering.
Amen.
I've been ashamed of myself so many times.
God bless you, brother. I tell you what, and just to stand and shout. That man said, he said, I'm not even worthy that you should come under the shadow of my roof. I mean, boy, it's a good attitude I have. He said, neither thought myself worthy to come to thee. He said, just speak the word, and it'll be good enough. And boy, I'll tell you what, Jesus turned around, and he said, I ain't never seen such face in Israel. And the reason he said that is because the man said, just speak the word. And you know, the man was humble, but he said, just speak the word.
Amen.
Man, I'm telling you what, buddy, his son was, not his son, his servant was healed from that eye. Amen. Praise the Lord. Like Brother Madden said, you get the word tonight, God get the picture. I said, no, I don't know. How in the world works to stick my foot in my mouth? Sometimes I'm going to get a boat in there. And anyway, you get the right word. I'll tell you what, buddy. That psalm, I told that boy about Psalm 51. He done read it. I said, I've actually prayed that prayer myself. God be merciful to me. Against them be only by sin. Done this evil in my sight. Thou might be justified when thou judgest. Amen. Crave them to clean heart and right spirit. And I'll teach transgressions thy ways and sinners to be converted unto thee. Boy, what a prayer. Man, after God's own heart. Amen. I don't know what you're after, but I'll tell you one thing, boy, like he said, God sure is deserving of the best we can do.
Praise the Lord. Sure.
Anybody else got anything on your heart tonight?
Well, I enjoyed that song. She did a good job.
Boy, boy. Step right up there. Amen. I have to admit, it blessed me. Man, oh man. Praise the Lord. I thought, well, hallelujah, that's exactly what I needed to go with this message about prayer. Family that prays together, stays together. Amen. You know what? There's so little prayer going on, and families are ending up on the rocks, and man, they're listening to Dr. Fields and Dr. Oz and Dr. Reddy and Dr. Cobb. I don't know, but really what they need to do is just say, Lord, we need some help down here. Just throw the white flag up and say, it's me, O Lord. It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord. And they need a prayer. Amen. Anybody got anything on your heart? We got 5 minutes.
I praise the Lord tonight. I love Him, and I thank Him for the blood.
Amen, Sister Molly.
Because I'll never forget that blood.
Amen. Lord, clean me. I can't even tell y'all how dirty I was, but I can tell you how clean I got. Like she said, every time Molly testifies, she'll always identify with the blood. I get a blessing if you're going to testify.
Amen.
Yeah.
God's still
okay. Amen. Yeah. God bless you. Amen. That's been good.
I didn't tell Margaret about that. I don't know why.
He holding out on you, Sister Margaret?
Holding out.
Well, we all got here at the same time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good morning. My dad's thank you for it. Hey. Are we done tonight?
At least you might have been good to me.
Uh-oh.
A little less work if you
Let me ask everybody to stand. I'll get Brother Bob, if he would, please dismiss this word of prayer. Thank y'all for coming tonight. Been kind of a, I don't know, kind of an intimate service for me. It just seemed like, boy, real special here tonight.
Yes. Lord, well, we just thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for prayer.
Thank you, Lord, for prayer.